Timothy chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 1. Paul says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Thank you. You may be seated. Pilate asks the question, what is truth? In John 18:38. And our Lord said in John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. So when you boil it all down today and look at what is truth, it's the word of God, Genesis to Revelation. And it's not the book of Judas or whatever the other books are that are out there. It's the 66 books in the Bible. And many today say the truth is based not on fact, or rather how it makes one feel. That's not truth. Or it could be based on one's politics, which is not the basis to find truth. Truth is not found, in, especially in congressmen. Some say it's my truth or their truth. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Oh, it's my truth. And if someone has an opposing story, what is truth? So how about the truth, whether I'm right or wrong, this is the truth. That's the bottom line. What is the truth? What are the facts? What can I base my hope on? What is truth? Thousands of homes, college campuses, and high schools have questioned me not what is the truth, but rather how does it make you feel? Well, that's not how we look for truth. You know, the truth can make us feel bad. The truth can make us feel bad. It can make us feel glad. It can make us feel sad. But the truth is the truth. And that's what we want. That's why we're a Bible-believing church. And the Bible says it, and that settles it. And we don't get off on different belief systems. You know, someone asks me, are you a Calvinist or are you an Arminianist? You know what I am? I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. And the Bible says that settles it. That's all I care about. Now, the truth is the Scripture, the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Our Lord stated in John 14, 7, even the Spirit of truth. So the third person of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit, and he's the Spirit of truth. Our Lord stated in John 14, 7, even the Spirit of truth, John 15, 26, even the Spirit of truth, John 16, 38, the Spirit of truth has come, and he will guide you into all truth. Now, here's the thing, beloved, you're saved by God's grace. And that's a very important statement. If you're saved by God's grace, you can know the truth. You can rightly divide the word of truth. And this is what God wants us to do. So Jesus said in John 14, verse 23 and 24, the Lord spoke of worshiping in truth. So everything with God has to do with truth. He's the God of veracity, the God of truth. And John 14, 6, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now this is a hard truth to believe. Well, it's easier for me and other believers, but it may be hard for you who are lost. You know, there's no gods of the Hindus. There's no gods in eternity. That's a made-up religion. There's no Allah, the God of Muhammad. It's false. It's fake. It's not true. You say, but they're bowing, they're worshiping. But they're not worshiping the true God. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But by me. The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. He's not a way, he's the way. He's the way. And so it's so important for us to understand that. Now, you may not be the persuasion, you can handle that. I mean that. You may think, oh, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to be so narrow. I don't want to be. But there's no way to the Heavenly Father but by Christ. If you try some other way, you're not going to make it. It's black and white. It's narrow. As narrow as this book, it's narrow. And so Jesus was stating this, that there's no other way to heaven. It was not another way or another truth, another means, another work besides what the Lord did on the cross. He died for our sins. He didn't die because Jesus got caught. He purposely went to the cross for our sins. And he died and was buried and rose again the third day. And one cannot get to heaven nor earn heaven or merit heaven. Not only will man try through baptism, doesn't matter what church you're involved with, maybe adult or child baptism, communion, confession, confirmation, praying to the saints, counting rosary beads. We're saved by God's grace and only by God's grace. If you don't have a testimony of God's grace saving your soul, you don't have a testimony, because there's no other way of getting to heaven. Now, the Bible tells us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The Lord tells us how we got here. In Genesis, in chapter 6, in verse 1 and 2, God tells us a story of creation. You say, well, how could God do it? What do you mean, how could God do that? He's the Almighty God. He's not you. He's not me. He's the Almighty God. Amen. And that's how he could do it. He always was and always will be. That's how he did it. And that's important, that God took six literal 24-hour days to create all that we know in the world. That's what he did. Well, scientifically, that's a farce. The science proves that our Earth has only been around 6,000 years. It proved just by the moon alone. They were concerned that maybe the moon dust from millions and millions of years would be so deep it would swallow the Apollo, what I forget what it was, but they're afraid of that. And what happened when they landed, it was hardly any moon dust, because we've only been here 6,000 years. And there's so many other things I could do to prove creation, but the bottom line is the Bible says so. We were created. God created all things, and that's what's important. Because God is not man, he was able to do this in six literal days. This is what the Bible states. And there's no different way the man has said that he got here. You know, evolution, you say, oh man, there were cavemen. It's not true. God made Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. And they had sinned against God, and they went running and hiding from God. And because that man developed over the years, but it was only 6,000 years. Not hard to figure out, beloved. There's no such thing as evolution. We didn't come from monkeys. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. That's like Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. I know some of you are struggling with that, but it's not true. Now, the Bible goes on and tells us, after God created, there was the patriarchs, so the history of the nation of Israel. New Testament began about 4,000 years after creation. John the Baptist began the New Testament. I know people struggle with that, but it's right in the Bible. Mark chapter 1 tells us that. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what the Bible says. And the cults come around and say, no, the Word was a God. Well, there's no A in the Greek language. So where do they get the A from, besides the depraved heart and from the devil? Now, the Lord lived a sinless life, fulfilled the law. He kept the law perfectly. He then was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. He died a substitutionary death. In other words, he died in our place for our sins. and for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So this is the truth. And the scripture stated. Now, there's no arguing with the word. You can argue, but it's fruitless. Because the day's coming where this world's going to end. And Paul says here in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. God's going to judge the world. And so mark this down, when men turn from the truth, when men reject the truth, when men say no to the truth, they lay themselves open to every deceit of the devil. And this is very important. It's very true. How has it been for those who have turned from the truth? I can tell this, people who left the truth, not good. Not good. Say, well, church of this, hey, we preach the truth here, and people go against the truth, they're gonna pay the price. And the bottom line is it's not well. It can't be, because you've left the truth. This is going to be a real popular sermon, I'll tell you. But the thing is this, you can't leave the truth and prosper. Now, you may make money, but that's not prospering. You know, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8, then thou shalt have good success. Success has to do with our relationship to God, our relationship to the brethren, our relationship to the truth. That's what good success is. And it's not necessarily making money. Making money and then not knowing God, there's no fruit to that. So the idea is that they're not going to be better off. And how many people have turned from the truth? They've gotten themselves in all sorts of sins and, living with people and immorality and indecency and so on and have become an abomination before God. This is what happens. It's so important to stay with the truth. Now, they turn from the truth and have turned unto fables. Now, what does that mean? It means they turn to falsehoods, false belief. People leave the church and all of a sudden they don't believe in creation. And, well, I believe in evolution. Oh, that's great. What's the proof? What's the basis? What's the facts? Do you have any? And don't be sitting there saying, oh, I have the facts. No, you don't. You have other people's statements. You weren't here when evolution started, were you? I mean, it's a falsehood. They believe such foolishness. In verse 3, notice the motivation. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but at their own lust. That's the problem. People's lust. Now, there's three thoughts here. The first one is the truth of the judgment. In verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appear in his kingdom. So the Apostle Paul gives Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, a solemn charge. And God is saying that it's a solemn charge, giving Timothy a forceful order or directive. Now, that although there are certain false narratives, there's false philosophies, false belief systems, false religions, the Lord Jesus Christ is returning to judge the quick and the dead, those who are saved from their sins and those who are dead in trespasses and sins. That's what's happening. Now, you may say, well, actually what's happening is the economy is going so great. Trump is really, and the Democrats are going to get, that's not part of the reality. A lot of it is smoke screens. There's a one world church taking place, a one world government taking place, a one world monetary system. There are chips being put into people, even as we speak right now. And the world's being set up, I mean, within a week or two or maybe months of the Lord's return. This is what's going on. This is the reality. It's not reality TV. The reality is that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to judge the quick and the dead. This is what's so important, beloved. And that stuff is fantasy. It's fake. Now, is Donald Trump with it? I hope so, because there's a lot of good things that come out of Trump, but that's not the issue. The issue is not that. It's knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what's true. That's what the Bible says. And that Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to judge the world. And the Lord is returning to establish his kingdom on earth, his rule and reign. And mankind has tried to develop life without the Lord. They make it like this is that we've been here for millions of years. No, we haven't. We've been here for a short time. And where it is promoted that there is no God. God's on the back burner. He's not important. There is no God. I'm not sure. I'm an agnostic. I don't know if there's a God. God says, look to the heavens. That's what he says. Look to the heavens and know that there's a God. How does this all take place? How does all happen? Now, it's a promotion of religion. You know, it's really interesting in our society. I was back in the 60s, 50s. Oof. And, people, this was a Judeo-Christian nation. But now they've shown all sorts of religions, tribes. So they're false. It's not true. If it's not according to the Word of God, it's wrong. That's the way God made the world. That's the way God designed man. So there's a false promotion of religion, entertainment, education. You need education. You got to have education. No, you don't. You should. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to become a doctor? I hope you get educated. I hope you study. Just don't put up a doctor sign in front of your house. So there's certain things. You're going to work on my teeth? Yeah. figure out what a nerve is. What's the bottom of the tooth there. But the thing is this, these are falsehoods, that all these things are needed. Now notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. The Bible says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they which increase unto more ungodliness. So Liz and I were in London, England, back in January, a year and a half ago. And Ash and Maddie were there. And we went into one of their museums, and it was nothing but the gods, the Roman gods. But it's all make-believe. There's no Zeus. There's no Aphrodite. They're made up. They were fictitious. And yet the whole world was living. It's just like Good Friday. There's no way that Jesus died on a Friday and rose again on a Sunday if you're going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. I remember calling Sean Hannity one time, and I asked that question. I said, how could Jesus die on a Friday and raise? He said, it never ceased on me being the miracles of the Bible. Just do the math. So the world's deceived, and there's things that deceive people. So they're profane. Notice verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concern the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And this is what's real. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that name of the name of Christ, what are they to do? Smile? Live right? Depart from iniquity. It always comes down to sin. Your sin, my sin, our sin. That's why Jesus died for our sins. That's why he rose again, so we can be justified in Christ from our sins. And what do? We depart from iniquity. So these verses are speaking of the unprofitable arguing concerning the word of God. Verse 15, and notice he says in the same chapter, verse 15, God says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so what are we to study? The word of God. It's not philosophies and religion. I remember one time I was in a young Christian. I was in the cult class. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read all about the cults. And my teacher, Brother Clayton Doss, said to me, he said, Brother Grafford, probably better if you just study the truth. Because when the cults come along, you'll know it's not the truth. It's just like counterfeiting. You know, if you're in the banking system, you know that as you're counting money, you can come across a counterfeit. It's not studying all the counterfeits, it's studying the real thing. And Paul tells us here that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now in 2 Timothy 3:7, the Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. This is the problem. There are people ever learning. They got all the information, all the facts, and they don't apply it. They don't live accordingly. Now notice back in our text here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appear in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So the world is going to be in shock, devastated, when they realize that Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And when they face him at the judgment, it's going to be a shocking revelation. This is not Allah. This is not one of the Hindu gods. This is not, I'm not standing before Mary. I'm standing before Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, Psalm 96. This is a powerful verse. Psalm 96, if you would. And notice verse 13. Psalm 96 and verse 13. The Bible tells us, before the Lord, he cometh to judge the world. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So the word of God is going to be present there at the judgment. And whether you lined up to the word or you didn't will determine your judgment. And so important that you comply to the word of God, you obey the word of God, you submit to God's precepts and commands, and the grace of God, that you're born again by the Spirit of God. If not, this is the book that's going to judge you. You're not going to have a book of Islam for the Islamic people. You're not going to have a book of, I don't know, over among the Hindus. All people are going to be judged according to the word of God. Now, the second thing we see is not only we to the truth of the judgment, but we preach the truth. And that's what Paul says here. Now, think of all the things that Paul could have said. But he said, preach the word. Preach the word. That's why our church, three services on a Sunday. That's why Wednesday night we study. We have special services because God wants preaching. And I know a lot of the world, they have seminars. They have a teacher. That's not what God says. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, God says, preach the word. And how do you supposed to preach? Lift up your voice. Well, I like it quiet. Well, that's not the way God wants it. Both Old and New Testament, he said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Anyone ever have a kid take a trumpet? You know, go upstairs into the farthest room so we don't have to enjoy your trumpeting. Amen? I mean, it's a loud noise. That's what God says. In those days came John the Baptist preaching. He was crying in the wilderness. He's lifting up his voice. There's something about that. God knows what preaching is. And God teaches us in the Word. Now, false teachers and preachers use the Bible to promote their beliefs, and the Bible being the cover for their teaching. See, a lot of people use the Word of God from their own belief system. So, for instance, there's a man who wrote Your Best Life Now. When I think of Your Best Life Now, that is based on a false concept of what life is. It is. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. All they that live godly shall have their best life now. Is that what the Bible says? No, you're going to suffer persecution. That's not Christianity, beloved. Well, it really helped me. I'm sorry. You need to have a Bible study. You need to study what the Word of God says. Now, am I saying we shouldn't think good thoughts? I'm promoting that. I'm doing it Wednesday nights, thinking right. But the other side is, those are false teachings. They're false doctrines. That whole thing is a sham. The guy really is a pantheist. You can have the best life now. Please. You know, it's a business. It really is. And that's not the way we're to have a ministry. Amen. So it's so important that we understand that. So, you know, the teaching is that God is in everything. He's not. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And some motivational preachers, they use the Bible as a cover for their belief. So what do? They take a verse, usually out of context, not always, but usually out of context, and they preach a sermon that is not based upon the Word of God. They're motivational preachers. So they're not preaching the Word. And here's what the Bible says in verse 2. Preach the... Let's try that again. Preach the Word. So the idea is that instead of promoting false doctrine, false teaching, damnable teaching, by Paul saying preach the Word, he's saying the entire written Word of God. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We're to preach from Genesis to Revelation, everything in between. And I'm not afraid of any verses. Well, you know, that verse doesn't mean what it says. Oh, that's great. If you can find a verse that doesn't mean what it says, then don't use the Bible. Come up with your own idea. You probably have a better idea than what God has. Amen? I don't think so. This is the way to preach. Preach the Word. So what do? We have studies from the Word of God. We study books. We go through it verse by verse. I don't skip over any verses. I'm not afraid of any verses. There's an answer for every verse. And let the Bible explain itself. That's the best way. When you say, well, this is not what it really means. Oh, that's great. Tell us. Tell us with your decoder or your ring for decoding. Tell us what it really means. Help me understand, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't understand the Bible. Tyndale, his prayer was, God, said something along these lines. He said, help me to interpret the Scripture or to translate the Scripture so that the common man can read it. And that was revolutionary. And God answers his prayer. He answers prayer. This is the way God speaks to us, the Word. Otherwise, it is man's thoughts and ideas, preaching. The Word brings man into the presence of the Holy Spirit, who authored the Scripture, which reveals the mind of the Spirit. Let's go back to Acts here, Acts chapter 20, and notice in Acts 20 and verse 29. The Bible says in verse 29 of Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flocks." So this is what's going to happen. The grievous wolves are going to enter, not sparing the flock. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, such as they did in the other." You got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. The resurrection has not come, or it did come. All these false doctrines that a man was teaching. "And the grievous wolves shall enter in among them, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men speak perverse things to draw away disciples after" who? After themselves. That's the issue. And that's why, as a pastor of this church, I am very careful of people. I'm very weary of people. I'm very in tune with people and what they promote. I'll rebuke it from the pulpit. I'll rebuke it from in privacy. But I'm not going to allow false doctrine entering among us. I'm not. You say, "Oh, you're the only..." No. I said, "Get your Bible open. We're going to study it." And best I know, I've been straight as an arrow. I have good doctrine. I have Bible doctrine. Amen? That's what we want. And so I'm not going to allow false doctrine to enter in. Now, he says in verse 2, let's go back to our text. He says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." So, two negatives, one positive. You say, why does God have negatives? Because we're negative. We got a depraved heart, a sinful heart. And we need to be rebuked for these things. No, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for" what? "Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Two part negative, one part positive. So to rebuke is to bring the sinner to repentance. One man said it this way: the first discloses the sinfulness of man, whereas the second discloses the sinfulness of the sinner. So to reprove is to disclose the sinfulness of sin, and then a rebuke is to disclose the sinfulness of the sinner. The first call of the gospel ministry of John the Baptist reflects the reproof of men to repent. That's the first thing John did when he came on the scene. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Lord sought men to repent in Matthew 4, the next chapter over, verse 17. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Apostle Peter said it, he finished preaching on the day of Pentecost. What did he say? He said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent." We see this pattern throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament. Sin is a problem. It separates man from God. It keeps men lost. Men are lost and undone. And mankind remains in an unsaved, condemned state. Believers, many professing Christians, must also hear about sin. Now let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And notice, if you would, verse 20. And the Bible says that "then that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear." And notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's back up a few chapters. Chapter 2. And notice verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory." Notice, if you would, Colossians chapter 1. Back up a little bit more. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And the Bible tells us, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that he may present himself perfect in Christ Jesus." A man needs biblical preaching. A man needs to hear about God, his Son Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And man needs the Word of God, the Bible, the truth, and the doctrine of the Word of God. The third thing we see is the turning from the truth. Let's go back to our text, please, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice, if you would, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, we find here that the time will come, and may I say, now is the time, that people not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is found 15 times in the epistle and 7 times in the rest of the Bible. Verse 3, they'll not endure sound doctrine. You know, it's an amazing thing, beloved, when you preach the word. It's amazing when you prove it from the Bible, yet men find that so offensive. Oh, you're the only one. I've never said that. I don't believe that. There's millions of Christians throughout the world. I'm not the only one. But it's so important to understand when we preach the word, people believe falsehoods. And you're going to see this afternoon about, you know, the New Testament church. It's local and visible. And but the world will say, no, it's universal, invisible. Now, there's no Bible evidence of that. None. And yet, people declare it. Universal, invisible body. Sounds good, looks good on paper, but it's not true. So men will reject the truth. They don't want the truth. So we find here that the Word of God must be preached. Preach the Word. We find here that the Spirit authored the Scriptures, which reveals the mind of the Spirit. And this is important to understand. Verse 2, the Bible speaks here about reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. And so God's Word tells us that people are going to turn from the truth. The time will come when they, and now is, that people will not submit to sound doctrine. They refuse the truth, the Word of God. They will believe a fable, a falsehood. This is frightening. This is where man is. Man's deluded. Man is deceived. And that's not a good place to be. You know, I can go to all sorts of falsehoods that people believe in. People give their life for. People, you know, study UFOs. There's aliens. There's no aliens. There's demon deceptions. And that's a whole other subject for another day, but there are no aliens on board. There's not life on another planet. What planet would it be? How'd they get there? Were they created? I mean, this is all falsehoods. So man is on God's mind. God loves us and cares about us. So let me ask you this. How long a life will you live? The Lord's returning. He's coming back. He's seeking those who are lost. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to Christ. And so how long are you going to live? When is the day that you're going to die? When's the Lord returning? I can live any way I want and wind up going to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Consider this, if you would. We'll be done in a few minutes. Verse 3 of chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So here's some of sound doctrine. God wants you to live right. Jim, I'm lost. Well, it doesn't matter if you're lost. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. That's what God says. That's what your Creator has said. So, it's important to understand that. Important to get a hold of that truth. That I'm not here to live any way I want to live. I'm not here to listen to the music. I don't watch the movies. I want to. That's all frivolous. Those things are not important. You know, I'm 62 years old. I'm not an old man, but I'm older. I've lived my life. I have grandkids. And the Bible tells us wisdom. And you know, you're going to find out those things are not important in life. They're not important. What's important is that you know God. What's important that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's important that you repent and trust the Lord for salvation. That's what's important. Because the lust that man has within his heart, we all have it. The lust can drive you away from the truth. Turn you away from the truth. And think about this. It was self-will that Adam had plunged the human race into sin. His self-will, his desire, his lust. I'm going to try this fruit. I'm going to try this. It looks good. It tastes good. Because of that, the whole human race became sinners. Man wants God's blessing apart from sins forgiven. They want freedom from the bondage of sin without repentance. The itching ear crowd wants to accept Jesus as Savior, not receive Him as their Lord. They love sin, ungodliness, their unbelief, their own lust. Notice, if you would, chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and notice, if you would, verse 12. And the Bible says in verse 12, it's speaking about the tribulation period, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, this is the key, that man by nature enjoys his sin. He loves his sin. He lives in his sin. And instead of submitting to Jesus Christ and salvation, they rather live in sin, being fearful instead of faith, unbelief instead of trust in the Lord. There are many nominal believers or false professors when the Lord comes because of the persecution, they're going to flee. They're going to stay around here. They're going to leave. The scriptures teach that one opens themselves up to all sorts of spirits and devils according to the false doctrine that they depart from the truth. Notice, we're just about done. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what? Say it again. From faith. They have the truth. Giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of angels? Devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is what the Bible teaches, beloved. It's dangerous to look back in verse 1 to depart from the faith, the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look, I can get into all sorts of things, but it is ignorant on your part to turn from the truth. There's no wisdom. And either you believe what the Bible says or you don't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Don't be ignorant. Don't be indifferent. Don't live in indecision. That's where the devil wants you. He wants you to be indecisive. Be saved today, now. The Bible says repent and believe the gospel. You know what that means? It means that Jesus died for your sins according to Scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day for our sins. And the reason he did that is because he was going to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's important to understand. If you think Jesus died because he was captured or that, you know, he was against the Jewish religion or he's against Rome, you're missing the point. Jesus had to die. He died willingly. He died as a sacrifice for all our sins. And that's the crux of the matter, our sins. You're either going to carry your sins or you're going to give them to Jesus. Amen? That's what it comes down to. So you've got to repent and believe the gospel. You've got to believe that's your only hope. The Christ. You've got to turn. You've got to give up your sin. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to confess that you're lost. A lot of people never get to that place. They go all around it, but they don't say, Lord, I'm lost. Somehow they think in their hearts they have some self-righteousness. Here's what the Bible says, that we are dead in trespasses and sins. When I go to a funeral home, I've been to many funerals. That person in the coffin, they're dead. I mean, they're completely dead. No, I'm serious. They're dead. You say, but what if maybe they have a little life in them? They're dead. And you're dead as they are, spiritually. You're separated from God. There's no righteousness in you. There's no life in you. You have no life in Christ. There's a relationship with God. It's nil. It's void. And so that's why you need to be born from above. That's why you have to have the second birth. That's why you need to be regenerated. That's why God has got to make you whole. God has got to convert your soul. See, that's the difference between a person who is a nominal Christian and a person who's been converted to Christ. And that's what you want. You want to admit to God that you're lost. You're separated from God. And you have no hope in your life right now. That you're without God and without any hope. Now notice, the Bible tells us here in... let's go to... Well, look at chapter 4, if you would, and read verse 5. But watch now in all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. I am now ready to be offered, and the time my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now notice he said in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Here's the thing, beloved. Judgment day is coming. And Jesus Christ is going to judge the world according to his word. And God tells us not to be in the church and remain lost. If you're not a member of the church, but not to come to our service, he wants you saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent. So God wants you to know him. He wants you to know the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. It's going to make you free. And the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen? Isn't that great? And you can have freedom. You can know the Lord. You can be saved by his grace. You can be guaranteed heaven. You got to be saved, though. You got to come to Christ. And we invite you to come. We invite you to come because we were once sinners, just like you. Just like you. We are lost and undone. And those of us who are saved, we have a testimony of salvation in Jesus. You heard Brother Demlo earlier this in April. We heard Brother Kuzel. You've heard my testimony. You heard other people's testimony about the auditorium. Have God set us free? Have God made us alive in Christ? How we have a relationship with our Creator. That's what you need today. Don't turn from the truth. I'm begging you. Now, I don't know what your story is. I don't know where you're at. But I know this much, that God laid that on my heart. And I'm asking you, don't be so foolish to turn from the truth. Come to Christ today. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.